That almost made me jump around a little bit. That was good. That's good. Excuse me. The purpose, of course, is to get the legacy before all of us of those who have gone on before us and how they fulfilled the Lord's work in their timing and in their style. And Billy Sunday was no exception. Excuse me. I guess I'm the only one that has allergy issues. And so let's struggle together as we go through Revelation 18. You know, as long as I've been a Christian in college and seminary, I'd studied bits and pieces of the Revelation, but not until this last year have I really delved into it the way we have been doing it and interpreting it. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the 55 messages as of today. I think next Sunday will be our last and finish Revelation 18. Today we're going to look at Revelation 18, verses 1 through 8. I wish I could get it all in, but I just cannot do that in Sunday this morning, having 24 verses, far too many details, and I'm going to withhold some of those details for you this morning, because I think it would really take three, if not four, messages to unfold the specific details of all of Revelation 18. We're looking at verses 1 to 8, and as we look at it this morning, I'm not going to read it for you, but I will read it as I get to it, as we come down through the passages. As you have known, verses 1 to 4, I preached earlier last year. Then we went from 19, 20, 21, 22, and finished that. And now we came back to the tribulation, and next Sunday will be our last in chapter 18. Last Sunday, you'll remember, 17, we were looking at the doom of Babylon, but it takes two chapters at least, to see how Babylon fails and who Babylon is. And today I will get into that much more seriously. Before we do this, let's bow to in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the scripture. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to see what you have prevented your church from facing. You will take us out before this tribulation unfolds upon the whole earth. Yes, we've had tribulations. We've had world wars. We have skirmishes. We have wars going on currently as we speak, but nothing like the tribulation period of time in 7 years that will be upon all men, all women who have rejected Christ. But Lord, the beauty through that is some will come to know the Lord Jesus through the tribulation. So open this book to us, in particular this chapter 18. May we grasp some of it, and then Lord, give us the hearts and the minds to study and read on our own. We ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We're all curious about economics, both personally and internationally. 10:21 a.m. That's what you get for having one of these watches, I guess. Trade, commerce, tariffs, stock market, anyone watching at all? Every little bit gives you a little bit more information. We all have opinions. How do these things affect us? How will they affect the 18th chapter of Revelation? To be sure, we are all tied internationally and interlinked together with currency, and our economy appears like a single economy, and it's advancing. When you look at the Palisades in Southern California, big investment firms are coming in, buying up land. So some homeowners just said, I'm done. So the landscape of the Palisades changing. This is what life does. And we're all tied together internationally, linked with currency, and our economy appears like a single economy. The dollar still holds international value, and it is the international currency for the market. But we do know that China and Russia would like to replace the dollar. Would we be living when that transpires, I wonder? Do you know how to convert a dollar into a yen? How would you like to have a purse full of yens? But maybe we won't need yens. Maybe we'll just need the mark of the beast. Maybe it'll just be simplified to something on the hand. This is what chapter 18 describes, what the world situation will be under the control of the final Antichrist. Hopefully, we all can say, Lord, come quickly. Heaven and home looking better and better all the time when we see what is transpiring. We hear the pros, we hear the cons, we see the countries, we see our own countries, we're divided between Republican and Democrat and Independent, Communist and Socialist. The world is in a bit of an upheaval, whatever the reasons. But chapter 18 gives to us in great detail how Babylon crashes. By that I mean how the lead country under the leadership of the Antichrist is going to be crushed under the hand of Almighty God. So we're going to announce the fall of Babylon this morning. Even if you have a Bible in front of you and you're reading Revelation 18, some of you right at the top see Babylon has fallen. Some of you might see down to verse 9, lament for Babylon. And that ends the chapter. Now, 18 does end by the crushing of the Antichrist and Babylon, and chapter 19 that we've already covered introduces the Lord's Jesus' second coming, setting up his earthly kingdom. That is yet to be done. We have a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom of each one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but none of us can get along. Guarantee you will get along during the kingdom age. Guarantee it. Because our Lord is going to rule and we will reign with him. But we have covered that. Chapter 17, you remember last Sunday, is the same Babylon as is described for us. And we're going to see more of it. But there are definite similarities between Babylon as described in 17 and 18. You are going to see almost two different countries or rulerships with intricate similarities. Both are under the rule of Antichrist and have ruling queens. Both are filled with blasphemy. Both hate the saints, shed their blood. Both are associates with kings in fornication, and both are under judgment and are destroyed. 17, we took 2 weeks on it. We're going to take 2 weeks on 18. But there are some very significant differences I would like to point out, because it can get very confusing. The mystery Babylon from chapter 17, there was a symbol, the harlot woman. The harlot woman was identified with Rome, inland. The harlot woman was a woman. The scripture says she was a whore and a mother. 17 goes on to tell us she was guilty of religious abominations. And 17 showed the similarity that she was destroyed by a political power that previously supported her. Now that's 17. Now I don't expect you to remember all of this. But chapter 18 is different than Mystery Babylon, yet with similarities. So I'm calling chapter 18 the commercial Babylon. The mystery Babylon of 17, the commercial Babylon of Revelation 18. Let me show you some of the differences. The mystery Babylon was symbolic with a harlot woman. The commercial Babylon is symbolized by a great city. The mystery Babylon was identified with Rome inland. Chapter 18 is identified with a port city or the coastal area of Rome. Mystery Babylon of 17 said she was a woman, symbolically, a whore, and a mother. But the commercial Babylon of 18, there was a habitation, a great city, and a marketplace. The economy, finances, everything was commercial Babylon. Now, the mystery of Babylon of 17 pointed out she was guilty of religious abominations. 18, commercial Babylon, she is guilty of greed and self-indulgence. 17 of mystery Babylon was destroyed by a political power that previously supported her and then put her down and defeated her. Commercial Babylon of 18, she is destroyed by a sudden act of God. Similar, but distinctly different. But let me put this in one paragraph. In my view, I think it is best to see them as intertwined. Not just as 17 and not just as 18, but intertwined, yet somewhat noticeably distinct, even recognizably distinct, as I've shown the similarities between 17, the mystery, and 18, the commercial. Religious mystery Babylon of 17 is judged almost at midpoint of the tribulation. At least 3.5-4 years into the tribulation. Commercial Babylon is judged at the end period here in 18 and immediately going into 19, that we'll see how that breaks off and goes into 19. Now, this breadth, this broadness, or spread in prophecy really shouldn't surprise us. Think of what the Old Testament says about the first coming of the Messiah. Now, time will not permit me to read all of this. So I'm going to give it to you. You can pick it up very easily if you listen to this at another time. And I want to show you how the Old Testament talks about the first coming of the Messiah and show you how it's similar but very distinct. Trying to show you the difference between 17 and 18 and this broadness or this breadth should be intertwined, and it's not suspect to us. But I want you to see from the Old Testament how the Messiah was prophesied when he would come, but how differently he was prophesied to come. Let me show you 5 examples. Micah said that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem in Micah 5. Verse 2. Hosea, the minor prophet, said that the Messiah would come out of Egypt. Are they contradicting each other? No. Malachi said that the Messiah would come to the temple. Malachi 3:1. The prophet Zechariah said that the Messiah would come to Zion in Zechariah 9:9. The prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would come to Galilee, Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. Now, I just gave you 5 examples, and there's at least 10 more. 5 quick examples of how these prophets said the Messiah would first come to Bethlehem. One said out of Egypt. One would come to the temple. One would come to Zion. And one would come to Galilee. Same Messiah, but 5 different locations prophesied, of which all of them are true. Born in Bethlehem, escaped to Egypt, you will remember. When he came with John the Baptist, he came to the temple, to Mount Zion, and Isaiah said he came to Galilee. That was where his first ministry as the Messiah would take place. So, what I'm trying to say, 17 and 18 is best understood, intertwined, intermingled with certain specificity to how Babylon was displayed. So I have to ask, which of these are true? I think they're all true. So it isn't strange at all to say Babylon is falling in 17, Babylon is falling in 18, mid-tribulation and end of the tribulation, and to mean it in 2 senses: a religious Babylon and a commercial Babylon. Religious and commercial. At 2 different times, at perhaps the middle of the tribulation and at the end of the Great Tribulation. Now, this passage is very much in style of the Old Testament prophecies of doomed, wicked cities. Give you 2 examples. Take it and use it as you would. 2 examples of this are Babylon in Isaiah 13 and 14 and 21. 13, 14, 21. Just read those chapters and you'll see the example of Babylon. And you could add to that list Jeremiah 50 and 51. A religious Babylon and a commercial Babylon. The second Old Testament prophecies dooming wicked cities is the city of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, Ezekiel 26 and 28. Now, I don't know about you, but I can, as I'm working through this, I can see that I could camp on so much more. I'm trying to give you the big picture of 17 and 18. Because if you can really get bogged down in the details, and that would take another couple of weeks. Is Babylon of Revelation 18, my question, a literal or a symbolic city? When I read these are the questions I ask. I don't just accept it. I'm saying, what is he saying? What is this context saying? What questions does arise in my mind regarding the literal or the symbolic city of Babylon? Well, I must admit, some have thought it to be a future rebuilt of Babylon on the Euphrates River in the Middle East. And we've all heard that. But I submit to you this morning that this is now a desolate desert in the modern day city of Iraq. Desolate. No Babylon there. But you'll remember, many years ago, Saddam Hussein was outspoken in his desire to resurrect the ruined city of Babylon in all of its glory. Do you remember that? Back 15 years ago, he obviously failed, and I'm delighted he has. But it is conceivable that a rebuilt Babylon could be a world economic center, especially with the wealth of the Middle East oil. But so far, no one has made good on the dream to rebuild Babylon, unless perhaps the Abraham Accords under President Trump takes a turn in the road and builds in the Middle East. But most likely, commercial Babylon is a symbol. It represents like religious Babylon. So personally, I'm not giving a lot of weight to Babylon being rebuilt in Iraq. Although Saddam Hussein wanted to, but I think the bombs put all this out of reach for right now. But let me submit to you John 15. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 15. Remember when the Lord was here on earth? He spoke of that great hatred that the world had for him and his own. In John 15, verse 18, let me preface this before we read it. What is this world but a combination of religion, government, and commerce? Isn't that really what makes up the world? Religion, government, and commerce. That's the world. That's the world system. In other words, Babylon, in all its parts, stands for which Christ called the world. Now, John 15, verses 18 and 19. I want to read that for you, and perhaps you have it open. 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Now, you don't have to be a mature Christian to understand what that meant. You'll remember even in 1 John chapter 5, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Religion, government, and commerce. All of us are involved in all of that. You listen to the news, you're a part of the government. You think this. You heard this. Everyone here of Pam Bondi and Dan Bongino having a fight in the White House? That was yesterday. I thought we had something solid there. You have government. How about religion? Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it. So you have government, you have religion, and commerce, money, stock market, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Do you see how I'm intertwining all of these together? Government, religion, commerce comprises the world, of which all of us in this room have some input into all of it. What happens if Social Security goes under? What do we do? I worked my whole life for this and it's gone? Well, what are you going to do about it? What? Well, I had all my money in the bank. FDIC's bankrupt. What are you going to do about it? Buy gold. Or so they say. Have you bought an ounce of gold lately? All of us are involved in religion, even the atheists, government, and commerce. And what does the Lord say to us? If the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. One commentator put it this way, quote, in portraying the destruction of a symbolic city, he describes God's judgment on the great satanic system of evil that has corrupted Earth's history, unquote. Think of it. Fighting over Medicare, Medicaid, the Republicans are going to kill everybody, everyone's going to die, the Democrats are communists. Wow, we're in the middle of this. As never before. John Walvoord adds his commentary on chapter 18. He says, quote, in chapter 18, the context seems to indicate that Babylon here is viewed in its political, religious, economic character rather than its religious aspect. I differ with him a little bit there. I think religion takes in atheism plus some form of organized religion. Well, notice, I haven't even gotten started on 18 yet. So let's go back. I want to see verses 1 to 3. After these things, what things? Chapter 17. John saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. What does all that mean? I want to break that down for us as quickly as I can. Notice the illumined with his glory. Here we have John seeing this vision that an angel's coming down from heaven so fresh from God's presence that he glows. So recently has he come from the presence of God that in passing he flings a broad belt of light across the dark earth, unquote. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 34, Moses came down from the top of Mount Sinai and his face glowed from the glory of God? This is a picture of an angel that just came from the presence of God. Now, the Greek word here, another angel, and this is where the language, the Greek language is so helpful. The term another, not just an angel, but another angel, makes it clear that this angel is the same in kind as the angel of 17. Allon is the Greek word for another, another of the same kind. Not another of a different kind, but another of the same kind as 17. Now, where he says Babylon the Great is fallen, he announces that Babylon is fallen, and a phrase is repeated like a dirge of the damned. I've lost. I have fallen, and Babylon is falling. Notice where he says, and I can't go into all of this, but becoming a dwelling place of demons. What a sad fate for a once great city. This is a prophetic picture of absolute desolation, where the proud achievements of man become the demonic haunts of unclean and horrible creatures, unquote. You know, I've been noticing, I watched a little news yesterday, this new Mondani running for mayor of New York City, who is a vowed socialist communist. Here is the largest city in the United States that is now threatened by a communist potential mayor. We are seeing early twinges of what is yet before this land. And then that one last phrase on three, the abundance of her luxuries. You see that? For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Beloved, this morning, can you and I imagine $37 trillion in debt? If all of the money was confiscated in the United States, 401 systems and savings account would only account to maybe $3 trillion. That demonstrates to us that not only we are in debt, we are so far in debt, we can't come out of it. The abundance of our luxury. Babylon's sin was not only idolatry. It referred to her with the term of fornication, but also pride, greed, selfishly held wealth. Can I have a little fun with you? By the way, this last week, just learned, pastors can endorse political candidates now. So look out. I'm going to make you all mad every Sunday without endorsing anyone, okay? When you think of it, MAGA, Make America Great Again, gold card with Trump's face on it. Foreigners can buy a gold card for $5 million. Any kind of gimmick is going to come our way to bring money into the coffers. Do you know what it cost for one 30,000 bunker bomb to explode? One. We dropped 14. $2 million each. Plus the operation of those jets and fighters. That operation must have cost us $100 million just to put bombs in to push somebody else down. Now, I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just trying to talk about the abundance of luxury. Here's the question. How would you all like a little bit more money? Who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't? For what? Why would we want more money? So we can buy more toys? I want you to think what's happening here. The world is moving headlong this direction. And we're on the precipice of seeing things right before our eyes that's happening in our own government. Look at verses 4 and 5. I'll get off of that selfishness and all that held wealth. 4 and 5. I heard another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. Did everyone catch that reading carefully? Come out of her, my people. That's God's people. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. What is he saying? Come out of her, my people, or you will share in her sins. I think it's inconceivable that a child of God could be a part of religious Babylon. There are going to be people saved during the tribulation. The 144,000 will be saved. They will be evangelical witnesses that God will preserve to see more people, and they will refuse the sign of the beast. He is saying, come out from her, my people. Those who are being saved in the tribulation, he's saying, step away from her. But commercial Babylon, with its materialistic lure, is a constant threat to be guarded against. May I add an addendum to that? We as a congregation may close on our house Tuesday. Might. Are we going to sit on our money? What are we going to do with our money? You Is that something to think about? Suddenly we could be flush with money. Why? For what reason? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Do we pour good money after bad money? Suddenly we're going to be flush. Lord, help us. This could be one of the most dangerous places this church has been in a long while. Hope you're hearing me. I don't want to sit on $500,000 when the Lord Jesus comes and give it to the Antichrist. Do you? That would be a very poor steward of that which he's given to us. Come out from her. Come out from her. And we're not even there yet. But we need to guard ourselves. That's why we're praying on Tuesday nights. Coming together, divine wisdom, grant to us, Heavenly Father, what it is that you want us to do with what you have given us. Or you'll receive her plagues. Do you see that? For her sins have piled up, verse 5, as high as the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. You know what? I think we can take a warning from this. We're not in the tribulation now, but we could pile tribulation upon ourselves, or you'll receive her plagues. Come out from her. The call to depart from Babylon and the worldliness that it represents is a theme repeated frequently in Scripture. Be careful, church. He may have brought us to a point. What do we do at this point? I find a little fear exciting. Do you? I mean, if you're hunting a bear, you got some adrenaline going. And when he comes out, can you get the weapon up and face him and take him down before he takes you down? Faith involves risk. Risk involves fear, and faith involves fear as well. What is he going to? What is he asking us to do? Come out of her. I want to give you five verses of scripture, and I'm going to read them for you. You don't have to turn to them, but I have them all marked. Isaiah 52:11. Depart, depart, Israel. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. I can take that. We can take that as a church. Be careful. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Jeremiah 50, verse 8. Jeremiah 51:45 says, my people, go out of the midst of her. Let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. These, I believe, are early warnings to us that we can apply, just like the luxury of Babylon, the church can get in the same situation. You are lukewarm. I want you hot. I want you cold, or I could vomit you out of my mouth. I want you as a church to be wise. Her sins have reached to heaven. The sins of commercial Babylon have piled up like a tower. Remember the Tower of Babel? Early on. And God has remembered her iniquities. Well, let's wrap this up. Verses 6 through 8, I want to run through this real quick and maybe pick a little up from next Sunday. 6 to 8. Pay her back even as she has paid. Give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself, live sensuously. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I'm not a widow, and I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence, mourning, famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. Render her as she's rendered to you. The Greek word for render means literally pay her back. Give back to her what is due. God's going to give to Babylon exactly what she deserves during the tribulation. Repay her double according to her work. Double restitution would required all through the Old Testament in cases of theft. Perhaps this is a commentary on how Babylon has made her wealth through dishonest dealings. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus in the New Testament? Climbs up in the tree, little guy looking to the Lord Jesus. He saw, the Lord says, I want to go to your house, Zacchaeus, in my house. And the Lord goes over and spends the night with him, and he comes to faith in Jesus Christ. You know the first thing Zacchaeus wanted to do after he was saved? Pay restitution to all those taxpayers that he took from. He said, I will give it back fourfold. The Lord's going to do the same. Her plagues will come in one day. Not 2 days, not 3 days, one day. The destruction of commercial Babylon will come suddenly and with completeness. Let's just take a moment here for a minute. What if everyone in the stock market took their money out of the stock market? One day. Boy, when she's down 10%, oh, panic. When she's down 20, panic. One day, gone. And that $10 you have in your wallet, that's just a promissory note. Who can pay it? There's no gold behind it. You know, I heard Donald Trump and Elon Musk was going to go to Fort Knox. Remember that? You guys still sleeping? Oh, some of you are awake. Good. Never heard anything more about it. They never went. You know why? Because there isn't any gold there. We talk about all this and make America great and all that. It could be gone in an instant. All of the communists are buying farmland all around our military bases. Do we know how tenuous we are living today? We're on the edge. On the edge. Yes. So here's the good news. When Jesus establishes kingdom on earth in 19, the economy will be similar and luxurious as today, if not greater. And it will be the pursuit of all. When he comes, he will come in judgment. Jesus will return to this earth and he will judge the wicked righteously. When he first came to earth, he was crowned with mockery. When he returns, he will be crowned with majesty. You see, the first time he came to this earth, he reigned from a tree. The next time he comes, he will reign from a throne. The first time he came, he ruled with a reed. And when he returns, he will rule with a rod. Chapter 19 describes Christ's return to establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. We've covered that. We'll finish 18 next Sunday. Bow with me in prayer. Father, oh, how we love your word. The opportunity to study it, to declare it, to apply it to each of us individually as well as collectively to the church. Father, I don't believe we're going to be here during the tribulation, but there will be many people who come to faith in Christ during the tribulation. Father, grant to us wisdom. You could come today. What a pleasure that would be, to go immediately into your presence. Father, we have loved ones without Christ. A lot of church people come to church without Christ. They've never been saved by your grace. No fruit in their life. They attend. Father, will they go to be with you? Thank you for this morning we've shared together. The singing, the fellowship with your people, the class that we'll have in a few moments afterwards, we dedicate to you. Dismiss us with your blessing, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, and good day. The Lord bless you.